Great pleasure to tell you who was on the line because we haven't done Lights Out Please in a long, long, long time. We got a lot of catching up to do, and it's one Mr. Steve Persall of the Tampa Bay Times to talk movies, to talk Oscars. Steve, how the hell you been?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. Getting a kitchen ripped out and all that kind of stuff, but aside from that, it's been pretty smooth.
You're a brave man. Are you living out of the microwave is what you're telling me?
The microwave's pulled out, too. We're living out of a takeout.
All right. Well, the Oscars, Sunday. I am proud to tell you, Steve, that my mission over the holidays was to see everything I possibly could that was nominated, and I did it, and proud of that. And before we launch into our best supporting actor, actress picks, and best actor, best actress, and then picture of the year, best picture, I want to ask you, how political do you think it will get Sunday night?
Oh, I think it's going to be very political. I mean, you don't get that many celebrities who are in love with everything that they say and do, or somebody else says and does, in one place at a time like this, with so much stuff going on politically, culturally. That's like the perfect storm of political activism and expressing it as such with a worldwide audience of hundreds of millions of people. So, yeah, I think it's going to get very political. That's what I'm kind of anticipating, and that's what I'm going to be writing about or planning to. That's what I'm aiming to write about right now as I'm looking at the ceremony coming up.
Cool. So we will start with the best supporting actor, and I can't pronounce his name, but it's the guy in Moonlight. I think he gets it.
Mahershala Ali, and I agree with you totally. I mean, dude, here's a performance that was not only good, strong, just a well-rounded performance, portrayal, but he disappears after the first third of the movie, and yet his character sort of hangs over the rest of the movie. Nothing happens in that movie without you not thinking back to his performance, because the character is that strong and the portrayal of it is that strong too. So I agree with you. Mahershala Ali should win it. That's a category that does have a chance for some outside, upset coming in, possibly Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water, possibly Dev Patel for Lion, who picked up the British Academy Award last week. But I think it's always to lose.
Well, in the no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes, a.k.a. bet the entire house and put your car on the block as well. Nobody is going to touch Viola Davis for Best Supporting Actress.
Well, how do you think I'm paying for this kitchen? I put everything on Viola Davis as soon as I saw this performance. Yeah, and yes, it's a stunning piece of work.
Oh.
It's a performance in a actor's showcase. Not only her, but Denzel Washington also.
Yeah.
And she's just amazing. But some people have complained that she shouldn't be in the supporting actress category because it is such a prominent role in the movie. But there is precedent for that, because when she won the Tony for this role on Broadway, it was in the supporting actress category, or featured actress category. So there are some precedents for that, but she does have a bit of a definite advantage in pure screen time.
Yeah, no doubt. Moving us to Best Actor, in a nice segue. I know the chatter. I know the Golden Globes. With Casey Affleck, a great, great performance in Manchester by the Sea. But I got to tell you, Denzel, he was just too good in that role. That's where my nod's going.
I'm picking Denzel, but I'm really not confident in that pick, because Affleck has had the momentum going on throughout the entire thing. You talk about an apples and oranges type of comparison with those two performances, because Affleck's is so internalized, it's a character who's just eroding from within, basically, and we've got to find out why. And with Washington, it is out there. He's playing to the rafters. It's King Kong got nothing on him type of stuff. So it's two very different performances. I would like to see Denzel win. That would make him, that would put him in the category of three-time winner. That's a rarefied thing. I think there's only 9-10 people counting them. Katharine Hepburn with 4, who have won 3 Oscars. So I think the Academy, especially after the Oscars so white situation, may want to make a little bit of history like that this year. But I agree with you. It should be Washington. I'm I'm nervous it's going to be Affleck a little bit.
I want to go into to Casey's acting job on that. And just to spitball here for a second, Steve, it reminded me somewhat of Robert Duvall in Tender Mercies in that it was the underacting that really kind of jumped, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot more with silences and with pauses and with just like just mutterings.
Mm-hmm.
And some actors can do with, you know, a couple of lines, several lines of dialogue.
Yep.
It's Kenneth Lonergan's screenplay, which I think will win the best original screenplay of the year. That is between that and Hell and High Water, the two best, you know, fleshed out arcing types of stories that we had all year long. You could read those like books, like novels.
Yeah.
And Lonergan's words are so sparse and economical, and Affleck is just a perfect actor because you probably couldn't give Denzel, an actor who is a very dynamic type of performer, you probably couldn't give him that kind of role and see the same kind of excellence with it. Affleck, though, has that kind of, I don't know, mopey.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Internalized type of persona to it.
No,
that works.
No doubt. Let's jump to Best Actress. I'm going to go Emma Stone on that.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I hate to say it because I don't think it's that strong a performance from start to finish. Certainly, she's charismatic. She has it's going to be that kind of, you know, personality type of Oscar if she does win. But gosh, when you see something like Natalie Portman's performance in Jackie, or even Isabelle Huppert in Elle, the foreign film. That's when you see performance and not just personality. I agree with you. Stone will win, but I could think of two or three others in that category who could or maybe should.
Now, help me out. I should know this, but with lack of sleep and not enough coffee, did Hidden Figures get a nom for Best Picture?
Yes, it did.
Okay,
yes.
Well, that makes it interesting then, because I'm not choosing it, but. In my heart, a great movie, absolutely great movie. Uh-huh. In my heart of hearts, I really, truly feel the best movie of the year was Fences, hands down. But what I think is going to win will be La La Land. But I thought Fences was just remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, La La Land will win, I believe. Actually, you can go online at tampabay.com/movies right now, and you can see my column that's going to be in the paper on Sunday. Basically saying that La La Land is the worst choice the Academy could make at this time in history and at this time in the Academy's circumstances too. And actually, I picked Hidden Figures. I didn't pick it as to win because I don't think it will win. But that's the movie that would make the most culturally savvy.
I agree. I agree.
For the Academy, because it's a very palatable, crowd-pleasing type of movie. The Academy's always been accused of not having the same kind of taste and being just, you know, detached from the taste of the general public. So you can beat that rap. It's a true story about, you know, African American women who were so integral and with the NASA program, the early days. So you've got women and African Americans, Oscar so white, Oscar so male. You're taking your hand on two, you know, potential controversies or continuing controversies there. You know, Hidden Figures is the kind of movie that would have been a surefire winner 20, 30 years ago, perhaps.
Yep.
And now it might be the smartest thing. And it certainly would make more sense than for Oscar to give it to La La Land, which is about, you know, talented white people in Hollywood trying to make it big. I mean, come on, how much more self-serving can you get?
But you're right, and you know they will, and you know they will. Well, I totally agree on that, my friend. You know, it's been way too long for us to catch up. We're going to do this on a semi-regular basis because I enjoy it way too much. Listen, happy kitchen makeover, my dear friend.
Thank you. Hopefully it'll be finished and we can be cooking up some snacks for our Oscar night, Sunday night.
Good. And one final thing, your Oscar stuff again is going to be where and when in the Times?
It's going to be in the Latitude section on Sunday. You just look for the cover with one Oscar and four hands grabbing for it.
Okay.
Various colors or genders. And also you can find it right now, find the stories right now on tampabay.com/movies. We also have a very interesting story by Catherine Snow Smith, who, the oldest living Academy Award winner is Olivia de Havilland. She's 100 years old now. And Catherine was actually a pen pal of hers for a brief period about 30 years ago or something like that. So she wrote just a little piece on that. It's a very interesting story, and people should take a look at that too.
Cool beans. Great catching up with you. Talk at you down the road, Steve.
All right, Nick. Take care, buddy. See you later.